All right, hello. Welcome to the Celebrity Big Brother 3 premiere recap episode. I'm your host, Kevin, and I'm here with CJ and special guest Danny. What's going on, guys?
Hello.
Man, this was quite of a premiere. Quite a premiere episode of the Celebrity Big Brother 3. I know that I am not a big watcher of Celebrity Big Brother. I'm more of a regular Big Brother guy, but this episode was pretty entertaining.
I mean, we got to meet the whole cast and confirm some of our suspicions coming in. Looking forward to see how this goes.
You know, for me, it honestly surprised me because with the redesign of the house, I was like, the house is going to overshadow the cast, but all of them actually seem to come to play. So it's not going to just be a bunch of celebrities just chilling around a house for the next month. They're actually ready to play the game. So I'm excited to see what they're able to maneuver in this next month.
I don't know if all of them came to play, though. I mean, Chris Kattan. Oh,
you're right. I was going to say, is it just me or is the house more upscale than normal? Like, it's like, we got celebrities, so we're going to make it nice.
I think it was more like, we're going to see this summer, I think, too. They got rid of the spiral staircase. Yep. And now they have like the platform or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the house redesign, I think we're going to definitely see a lot of the same hints for BB, what, 24?
Before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think we're going to see a lot of those same hints. And so I think Danny was right. The house redesign I thought was going to be the big thing. But I was really impressed by this cast so far. Already.
Right?
Already.
Oh, I was going to say, also with the redesign, how are they getting into the backyard? Because I never saw the entrance underneath that stairs to go to the back area. Because like that staircase seems to like drop.
Cut in front of it. Yeah, like right where it used to be, like the sliding glass door used to be.
But you could still see the sliding glass doors on Julie's outro. Like when they were running the credits at the end, you could see them all coming in through that sliding glass door.
Okay. So I was confused of like how it was set up, because I was like, did they change where they go out now? Or because the design is so different from that spiral. So
yeah, I think obviously the door has to be there somewhere, but yeah. It seems that they've changed like where the kitchen is, it feels like. Like the door used to for years and years and years, the refrigerator used to be right next to the sliding glass door.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like it's there anymore. So they might have just repositioned stuff. Maybe it was after they set that chicken on fire, you know what I'm saying, in the oven, that they had to figure out what to do instead. Maybe they're like, that's not a good move. We can't have it there.
Also, I don't know. When I watched this again, the microwave and stove, are they in a different spot? Because not the microwave, the microwave specifically, like that, it's like cut out inside of the house. Like usually it was like set out separately. I don't know, it just looked weird. That's the only part of the house that's like weird looking to me, is like that little section of the kitchen.
It's different, but I don't know that it's going to be like the whole we need like a house tour, and I don't think we're going to get one for this, but I think we'll get one before the 24.
Yeah, because the walkthrough for the house at the beginning wasn't the same. Like it was just like we got an hour to introduce everyone. This is not a long episode, so let's just get to it.
Speaking of, I was surprised that it was only an hour. I thought this premiere would be 2 hours, with same. The episode today being more of an hour, but we get an hour both days, both nights, and then a 2 hour episode on Friday, which is going to be really interesting. I thought that was, especially when I like turned it on and I was watching Amazing Race, and I was like, "What's this happening tonight?" I thought we were going to be in the middle of the episode, but we weren't. But let's get into it, guys.
I was also going to say it's also weird that they're not going to cut the live feeds on until after that episode tomorrow.
Yes, like, because
somebody's going to get cut out fully from this season from the live feeds.
So it's interesting because the last 2 years on Big Brother, they've given you live feeds off the bat, just straight up. But last week when they announced the cast, they actually let them in the house on that Wednesday. And then during Amazing Race, is when they released what the, who the cast was going to be during The Amazing Race. But I think with celebrities, I think you had to like make sure they're coming. I think that's kind of what it is.
See, I thought that they put them in isolation last week and they went in the house on like Tuesday.
Yeah, same. Mm-mm.
But no, they put them in the house last Wednesday. So we're going to get about a week of gameplay cut up, and then Friday is going to be the first live episode with a live eviction, which is why we'll be getting the feeds right after.
But it's crazy because Julie said it was going to be veto competition plus veto meeting plus eviction on Friday. So
that's I don't think that we go. I think, and she said, and we're going to be live. I don't think we're live the whole time. I think we're going to be live for right like the second hour. Yeah, the second hour. I think the first hour is going to be the veto ceremony. And we're going to see a little bit of like scrambling, and then we're going to go live into them sitting in the chairs like they normally do, getting ready to go home.
Right.
But, you know, with only an hour for the show, we get right into introducing the cast. And with COVID, we start the episode with our girl, Julie Chen Moonves, talking to us and telling us that because of COVID, we're going right into the show. I'm assuming there wasn't an extensive quarantine like they've done with All Stars and they did with last season. I don't think they had them sit for 2 weeks. I think they gave them a couple tests, asked them if they were vaxxed, and then sent them in the house.
I mean, even if they did a long one, it's CDC is what, 5 days now?
Yeah, it's 5 days.
Yeah. So. But I'm saying, well, I don't think Julie's had any kind of interaction with them.
Oh, no.
No.
At all. And so we first get Carson Kressley coming in first, right? He had a lot of energy, man. I was really surprised.
For me, honestly, I'm not surprised to see Carson in this season just because of the fact that Ross played before and good homeboys. So I think from this, I think Ross probably gave Carson a lot of like pointers, but also looking at the day and age of where Big Brother is, this is something that's ideal for Carson. It gives him something to do for a month. He gets to chill and relax. I think this is up Carson's alley, and he, like, especially seeing the rest of the cast, Carson's ready to play, and like I'm sure he's willing to cut his allies if he needs to. Like Carson, I see someone who's going to be cutthroat.
He showed up and he was like, I can go on this and probably hang out with a bunch of my friends because I know everybody in Hollywood.
I'm so well. They're going
to pay me to do it. Sure, yeah. Why not?
And it's interesting because Kylie from the that was on last week is over here in the chat. Kylie says Carson was the perfect first person for the house, and I think that is very true. Was an ambassador, was out there, able to greet everyone and see them. Ran around the house first, looked around, and I don't know how big of a fan Carson is. I think Carson's just seen some of the show, but nothing extensive. And like you said, very good friends with Ross. So I think Carson running around and looking at things and touching everything was a great first person to tell you about the house and show you what's going on.
And I mean, if you're Carson Kressley, would you rather be in the Big Brother house or living on a farm in Pennsylvania?
Right. Right. Absolutely. So we get Carson Kressley, and then the first person that gets to meet Carson is Cynthia Bailey, one of the Real Housewives. And immediately, Carson's like, I know her. She knows me. We know each other.
Honestly, I think that's a duo that we're going to have to watch out for. Because,
you know, I think so too.
I see them being a two, but splitting completely as well. Mm-hmm. Like them being on different sides of the house, because I think the personalities of each of them can rub certain players wrong, whereas they will rub other players right, that they'll be able to divide and conquer kind of situation. I see the same thing with Todrick as well. However, I see it stronger with Carson and Cynthia, because their relationship, like, they're not the over-the-top characters, but they're over-the-top at the same time. Does that make sense?
Carson was super over-the-top.
And I think that's just who Carson is, though.
Todrick, though. Todrick is very over the top.
But Todrick, we're going to talk about Todrick in a minute, because I was very surprised about Todrick's entrance, and I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But right now, Cynthia Bailey came in. Doesn't seem like that she knows too much about the show, but she knows that Housewives are usually on. She knows that part. New Carson, so immediately felt comfortable for both of them. They both even mention it. Carson mentions how comfortable he feels because he knows somebody in the house off the bat, off the rip. And, like, if you know somebody, it would make me feel more comfortable, too. I'll be chill. I'll be like, all right, cool.
I mean, I'm gonna be okay. Especially if you come in and you actually have some interest in playing the game and winning, that's an immediate ally.
Correct. Correct. And
in trouble as well, because if you, especially how they've, like, put the facade up with the rest of the cast as they met each other, is that scary for Carson? And I say this because, like, does that make him a threat? Especially because, again, we said he knows majority of who's coming up in the rest of this cast. Is that a, like, does that make him a threat more than it does?
I don't think so. And the reason I say no is because the people that he knows, there's 11 people in the house and you have worked with three others, that's a group of four right there. We just got to get rid of four people, and we in the majority right there.
Boom.
And
well, I'll just say, I don't think we're going to get into it more later, but I don't think him knowing people is what's scary. The fact that he stayed up there that long on the marionette, it makes him scarier when you know his connections.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because he has people. But we'll get to that later, because next we had Mr. NSYNC himself, Chris Kirkpatrick, come into the house. And I think we said in the preview episode that he was going to have about 2 NSYNC references per episode.
Yeah.
And this week, I think he had 3. Like off the rip. He said later on the episode, it was tearing up his heart or his thighs. When he dropped, he said, I didn't just let myself down. I also let down Justin, JC, Lance, and Joey. Like, that was...
This is the thing for me, too. Can they please stop with this BB17 NSYNC music from the Whatchacallit Boys, where the because I am so sick of the, yeah. Like, can y'all stop? Stop.
We know they'll never stop.
Can y'all please stop?
So, Danny, you weren't here last week when we did the preview. Me and CJ and Kylie were discussing that he was going to at least work in a song title every chance he gets. I'm surprised. Well, I'm surprised. Well, they did mention it, I guess, because they said they had him strung up with puppets, and he said, "I know something about that," because in the No Strings Attached music, in the "You Gotta Be Me" music video, they were marionette puppets. He says, "I knew something about being strung up like that," because it's a throwback. They just wanted to make sure they get as many as they can.
Yeah, the wife saw that and she immediately picked him for the competition. She's like, he knows how to do this. He's good. I was like, probably not, but we'll see.
It was not quite the same.
And then I also want to know how Kylie felt about Chris not being recognized when he came in the house.
So Chris Kirkpatrick comes in the house and Cynthia's like, I kind of recognize him, but not really. I don't, like, really know who this guy is. Because, I mean, if you were to rank the most recognizable members of NSYNC, I think you go Justin, Lance, JC, Joey, then Chris.
Yes.
I think that's the order of, like, recognizability. I think that's it. I think that's the 5.
Holy.
So Chris is last. And so you're like, what was he? What was he in again? What was he on? And Carson's like, oh, it's another middle-aged guy like me.
Yeah, they're very close in age, but they don't look it.
No.
Not at all.
Carson has a lot more work. Chris, literally, we see his family. I never, ever considered that he would be married with a child. Like, I never just thought about it. Like, not like it wasn't like a thing that I didn't think could have happened, but it was, I don't think about Chris Kirkpatrick in my everyday life. So him being married and having a little kid, I was like, well, that makes sense.
I mean, when you're a bad boy, you just got to find the right girl to settle down. He proved it.
Daddy's going to be done with you much sooner than I am, CJ. But we find out that Chris is a super fan of the show and has been a big fan for a while, wants to play like Derek, and Dan, which is like, you know, anyone that's ever watched more than three seasons know those names. And that's who he wants to play like. So, I mean, I don't think he will.
That too, Kevin. I can actually see it.
I don't think he will. I think he's going to want to.
I don't think he will, but I can see him trying to.
Yes.
I can see the effort.
I can see the effort.
Work, especially if he doesn't line with the girls and the gays, but we'll get to them later.
Right, right. Next in, we have Shannon Mochler, another super fan, and another one of Carson's cuties. You know what I'm saying? Another one that Carson has worked with at one point or another in his illustrious career.
He just knows everyone.
He just knows everybody. And it's...
Watch him be real. First.
I don't think so, because of the connections. That's the only... I think that he is a... If you knew that he had this many connections, he would be a perfect... Because at this point, we have the people in the house. Three of them, him and two others, are already connected to him. And yep. It's just the four of them. So, and he has more connections to come, mind you, which is crazy.
Yeah, when Chris comes in and then Shayna comes in behind him and he's like, wait, so you two already buddy-buddy, plus you know her? This is a problem. Like, mm-hmm. Especially as a super fan, you know this is a problem. How am I going to break this up or get into it to take it down from the inside?
And that's kind of like what you have to figure out if you know about the connections. Mm-hmm. But Shayna comes in, she gives Carson a hug. It's like, dude, NSYNC guy. And then, like, meet Cynthia for the first time. And then right after that, we got Todd Bridges coming in.
I was not a fan preseason, to be honest.
Really?
I wasn't. When I say I wasn't a fan, I didn't know who he was.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that old enough to know who he was. Like, I didn't watch right. Jeff Strokes and stuff like that. My mom did, but I never watched it. So I didn't know who he was. However, watching him, I think he's the undercover threat in this game. Personally, I think he's the one that could honestly, if he figures out the game, see, Jesse, what you're doing.
What you're talking about, Danny.
If he can figure out the game, I think he can maneuver. Because he has already a general over idea of, like, we're going to be going at each other. So if he can figure it out, I think he's a threat. Now, granted, this is a long shot because there's other players in this game that I know who have strong strategy already, but he's my undercover thought. I don't know. Stop judging me.
No judgment here.
No, it's preseason. He came in with keep getting them checks energy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to get paid. I know how this works. I need to be here long enough to get paid. So I'm going to do what it takes to be here long enough to get paid. That's like literally it. Okay, so in preseason, we realized that Todd Bridges has been on a lot of stuff. So he's getting off drugs, which is great. Like, that's a fantastic thing. He has been in tons of... If you need a celebrity, Todd Bridges is available. And that's just kind of how that works. Okay, so Danny, you didn't know him. He was on different Strokes in the 80s. I didn't watch it, obviously, live. I'm only 33, about to be 34. It's usually like 36 or something. You're 27. Yeah, so CJ's 35. So we didn't watch it, like, growing up. But it was on the reruns as we were kids. Like, it was
in syndication. Watch it. My mom didn't watch it, so.
Yeah, totally understandable. So I knew that what's crazy about the different Strokes story is that everyone from that show is dead except for Todd Bridges. Dana Plateau, Gary Coleman, the old white dude. I said his name last week, but I forgot it again this week.
That's why a lot of it was drugs and alcohol related, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. The show was essentially cursed. And he was strung out on drugs in the early 90s till he went to jail and then decided to get clean and changed his life. So yeah. Since then, though, he's like been out. Like, so if you think about it, a lot of that time he wasn't acting like in roles because, you know, drugs.
And this is where I will say that allowed him to get more human, mm-hmm. to where he's able to assess human emotions, and, like, especially with his, I don't want to say cracked out, but cracked out emotions of what he had while he was on drugs. Mm-hmm. I think now he's able to navigate the human emotion a little bit easier At least from what I've seen from this edit, because again, we're not seeing the feed, so I'm not watching him on a daily basis. But from the edit, that's what they're giving him of, like, he's going to be that undercover person that's going to, like, sneak by.
And I also think
choosing to be off the first challenge, that's risky, but he felt confident enough.
Yeah, he'd say he didn't mind. And I think in addition to what you're saying, in addition to what CJ said, he has that get them checks energy. So he's like, I don't really give a fuck about none of y'all. I'm here to get paid. So I'm going to be here long enough to get paid. Yes, no, I'm here to be here long enough.
And it's to the end. Okay.
Yeah, he probably looked at those marionettes and he said, my money's going to go towards medical bills if I do that. So I'm a shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'm looking my ass down.
Well, Todd Bridges comes in. Cynthia recognizes him, obviously, because black connection. Carson knows who he is. Yep. I don't think Shayna necessarily knew who he was, but it was fine. They might have circled the same reality streets, but you know, they have that connection right there. Next in is we have Mari, and Mari's segment was extremely short because I don't think there's much to say about Mari.
Nobody knew who she was.
Myri, the Olympic skater.
Mariah,
yeah, exactly.
Mariah,
baby.
Listen, Mariah is here.
It's because who?
Exactly.
Like, Mariah for her, but who?
and you know, she's the youngest. She's definitely the youngest of the cast. She's like
28, right?
Yeah, she's in her 20s. Everyone else is well into their 40s.
So
except for like Todrick. She's
28. Todrick's 36, Misha Tate's 35, everyone else is at least 40.
So she's definitely the baby. She's definitely the baby of the bunch. And
I would do that for regular Big Brother, have an older cast and all these 22.
I don't know that I need an older cast, but I need I would like a more diverse age bracket. I want the 20-year-olds. I want mostly 20-year-olds, but a few 30-year-olds, a few like a couple 40-year-olds. That works. Like having Tiffany in there pretending like she was 28 was hilarious.
Queen.
Like, and everybody knew that she was not 28, even though she thought she was fooling them, but she wasn't.
I have a question. So, did Myri come on here for a showmance and then just got disappointed by the cast?
If y'all
said
wrong,
I don't think so. What's her name? How do you pronounce her name?
Mariah.
That's not what I have.
Okay, like Mariah, but without the It's
Mariah. He right in my notes. I have her name spelled wrong. It's M I R A I. Mariah. That makes more sense. I had M A I. I have her name spelled wrong in my notes here. Mariah. Mariah. You know, she's an athlete. Yeah, I don't think she can win the game. I don't think she can win the game.
I don't think she will have the social connections to win the game. I think she's physically capable of winning.
She's physically capable, but her social connections, I don't think is going to work with this cast.
Unless she gets adopted by someone, like if Todrick adopts her or if Carson adopts her. But I don't, like, when we talked about it in the preview, I said one of the things I could see happening is, like, they're going to turn on Misha because she's too strong. And Mariah could be the one that goes toe-to-toe with Misha in a physical comp.
Absolutely. And we get a little bit of that later on. When we are having the competition. Mm-hmm. But after Mariah, we have Chris Kattan. Chris Kattan, oh my gosh. Chris Kattan enters the house, and that dude is interesting.
Say it. He's creepy.
He has a little bit, he's a little creepy.
I'm not a fan.
It was odd.
Not a fan.
He's got big creep energy and he's a very little man.
Yeah, you know, these are both facts. And you know what's crazy is that Todrick is a little dude too, but Todrick has like the bravado of a 6'2" person. Chris Kattan is like five.
Todrick's not 6'2"?
Surprise, he is not.
But how tall is he for real though?
I think 5'6", 5'7", something like that. So but when
Chris Kattan walked in the house last night, I was like, damn, he's short. Like, I knew he was short, but I'm used to seeing him with Will Ferrell, and I know Will Ferrell's tall. But then he walked in last night, I was like, I gotta go online and look at how tall he is, and he's listed as 5'5". I don't believe that.
I don't believe that, especially, I mean, So obviously Lamar's in this game, but like that height difference did not look 5'5 to 6'10.
Right? Because Will Ferrell's like 6'4, but he was like up to Lamar's waist, maybe?
Barely his waist. Like he was literally like, here's Lamar's waist, and he's right here.
Yep.
Like
it was a very obvious height disparity. And then he like carries himself smaller too.
It's like he doesn't have a neck. It's like head on shoulders.
And I don't know if that happened.
I don't know. I had a buddy in high school who was head and shoulders. We called him Shampoo. That might be Chris Kattan's name going forward.
So here you go. This makes a lot of sense. Okay, so when he competed in Dancing with the Stars in 2017, he was criticized for his stiff upper body movement by the dancing judges. Afterwards, it was revealed that he had broken his neck during a stunt almost 20 years prior, and that the injuries subsequent and surgeries were the reasons for his lack of mobility. It was also revealed that pain medication has been taking following his fourth surgery led to his 2014 DUI. So has a neck injury, a long-term neck injury, because that's exactly how you said. He couldn't like really move his upper body, and he was real stiff. And if it happened almost 20 years ago, so like 97, that's towards the end of his SNL stuff. So that makes a lot of sense.
So then why was he willing to get up there like a marionette? He should have been the one.
He should have been volunteering real quick. Yeah.
Carson out there. Anybody got a fake hip? I got a broken neck. I'm a sit down.
Exactly.
But he gave it the old go. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, he does still have that creep energy though. I'm not going to lie. It was still odd.
I don't want to say some things that I think about him because I'm not put those allegations out there, but this just about that man, and that's all I got to say.
All right, he looks like the kind of dude that'll watch you while you sleep.
I mean, including that as well. But
it was a lot. It was a lot for Chris Kattan, and preseason we talked about who's more likely to quit, and I still think Chris Kattan is a high favorite to not last.
I don't think he's been in the house a week already.
Voted out easily.
I think he's easy to get voted out, yes, but I also think that these people just don't jive with him and he might just leave.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
See, I personally see I wasn't there for that vote. I think Lamar will quit first out of anybody.
I think so Lamar Odom is a very good friend of Metal World Peace, Ron Artest. And Meta wanted to leave all the time. So I think there's going to be a point where Lamar's going to be like, hey, Meta wanted to leave. I want to leave.
I want to leave too. I'm over this. Let me go home. Like, I definitely see this being a full thing.
Side note, did you see in the commercial for their new show Beyond the Edge, Meta's in that now?
Yeah, Meta's out here getting checks, baby.
Yeah. I was like, wait, so you didn't want to be a Big Brother and now you're willing to like go in the woods and like climb around in mud and everything against other elite athletes? No, thank you.
Meta's a trip, bro.
Meta's the most.
However you can get them checks, Meta's trying to do it. And, you know, he's a big family guy. So it's going to all go to his family. But Meta World Peace, also known as Ron Artest, also known as Meta Sandiford Artest. These are all names that he has.
All these names.
He changed it again when he got married. It's just stuff. It's just Meta. He out here doing a thing.
Just doing a lot.
We ain't talking about Meta no more though. We're talking about Chris Kattan. After Chris Kattan, we had Todrick Hall come in. As we all know, Todrick is a huge super fan.
I mean, after he had Big Brother 23.5.75.8 on the damn house. I mean, obviously.
I mean, he got personal tips on how to play this game from the queen herself, Tiffany, and then how to not play this game from Kylan himself. He got both those tips, like directly. He
also found out all the great napping spots from Derek.
And then he also learned where he could dance and be seen from Hannah. It was a lot of things that he got. Big Brother 23 really helped him out. Oza showed him some stuff to cook and where to cook it. It was going to be great. It was going to be a great situation for them. for Todrick. Todrick's a big fan, though. Always been a big fan of the show. I've seen him in like a lot of photos with cast members as they come off the show, because he's at like every finale that he can go to. So he gets his chance to play. And Todrick coming into the house, he had a lot less energy, which is what he needs. He came in real muted to be in a place that he's only dreamed of being in. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's loved the game so much that he's hosted the players in his own home. And so for him to be walking into a dream, he was extremely subdued, and I was very impressed.
Yeah, well, if you're a super fan, you can't let others know you're a super fan, because you saw the same thing with Chris Kirkpatrick. Well, he's like, yeah, I'm a super fan, but I don't want people to know I'm a super fan, so I'm going to try to play it low. But then when they're asking questions and he's got the answer, everything might be like, hold up, you know something that we don't. So I'm assuming you're a super fan. Todrick's playing it right by just keeping it close to the vest.
But when you look at Shannon Elizabeth from Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother 1, and Jonathan Bennett from Season 2, they were able to try to contain it, but everyone can tell that they knew more than they know. Whereas with Todrick, I was shocked at how well he was able to, like, hold it in.
You know, I agree with that, because I expected Todrick to come in with flames and glitter and all this. Like, I expected that to happen, but no. He was very just like, hey, I'm Todrick. Nice to meet you guys. Now, granted, obviously the response from Cynthia and Carson when he walked in the room, they obviously brought it up that like they knew him and stuff and all that shenanigans.
Yeah. But
he still kept his energy very subdued in comparison to what Carson was doing. And that's where I'm like, you did, like, I think you listened to what they were telling you. Like, you're ready to play this game. And I really have my eye on Todrick, even though I don't personally want him to win. I think he has a very strong chance if he keeps that attitude.
I agree. I had Todrick as being one of the first ones out, because I thought that his big energy was going to take him out, because they knew that he knew too much. But I don't – I have to change that. Looking at him come in the house, I was like, okay, this Todrick's here. He's ready to play for real.
I mean, there's a reason why I picked him to win.
Picked him to win.
Hey.
I haven't chosen a winner yet.
Yeah, well, by the end of this episode, you will. You're going to have an official winner pick. Why don't you want Todrick to win, Danny?
It's a personal vendetta. Todrick always irritated me.
So. 3 weeks ago, Todrick cut me off in the lane. And after that, we were driving through Nashville, and Todrick swerved in front of me, and he was doing one of those singing orders at the McDonald's, and it made it too long.
My top three, even though there's only 11 of these people, is the triple C. Well, he's not triple C's. It's Carson, Cynthia, and Todrick.
Okay, those are your top three.
However, I don't want Todrick to win if it's the other two against them.
You want him to be third. You want him third.
I want him to be a cute third place, yes.
Okay. Todrick, super fan, has this connection to Carson Kressley. They did a drag race together.
I forgot about Drag Race, because through Drag Race, Carson knows like half the cast.
Half the cast.
Yeah. Shannon Mochler, Cynthia, Todrick. It was all through Drag Race. Yeah, Teddy too. The connections are there for Carson, and Carson is ready to go and ready to run. So you're talking about Cynthia and Carson being a duo. I think Carson and Todrick are a better duo, because Todrick can be the brain, and then Carson could deliver the message.
Deliver it correctly.
And even though Todrick is also a flamboyant gay man, he was keeping it subdued. He was letting Carson be that role.
I will also say that Todrick, in comparison to the way delivery of like how they say stuff, I think Carson will be the more gentler, flamboyant gay, like, okay, sis, let's talk like this. Whereas Todrick is going to be a little bit more like, okay, let's talk this through. Like, a little bit more harsh.
Yeah.
I think where you say Todrick's the brains, Carson's this like delivery, that will be ideal.
Yeah, and that's what I think that the two of them are going to be more dangerous than Carson and Cynthia, because Todrick has all the plans. He can be the Tiffany.
It's funny how to play. That's
the other thing. Like, I'm looking at Carson and Cynthia, and watching the two of them work, I think it's going to look like that scene in Mean Girls where they team up on the phone call. Carson and Cynthia is going to be getting information out of people. You're not even going to know what happened, and then you're going to have spilled your guts.
But then you add in Todrick. They then give the information to Todrick, and then he computes it and spits it back out on what we need to deal with this thing that you two just got all the information for.
Yeah, because he's Regina.
Listen, if you just told Todrick Hall that he was Regina George, I'm sure he would love it and have a whole cosplay for it. So this is So I hope he listens to this when he gets out the house after he possibly wins, and you can see some Todrick Regina George cosplay on Instagram somewhere.
I'm sure we'll see it at some point.
Yeah. Next we had in Misha Tate, who definitely knows nothing about this game, but she knows that she's here to compete.
Yeah, she's so they invited Misha. She's like, "What is that?" And it's like, "It's a competition." She said, "I'm in."
Yeah,
that's literally what happened.
So do you want to know about the money? No, I'm happened. In. I just like whipping ass. I'm in.
Yeah,
that's all that was.
That's all it was. I want to be the. I want to win. How do you win? You win competitions, then I'm going to do that. Well, you can't win all the competitions. Why can't I? And
then, because there's like, rules.
You can't compete in all of them. Well, I'm going to figure out how, because I'm here to play. And I personally love Misha Tate. Misha Tate's my winner pick. The reason Misha Tate's my winner pick is because, like I said in the first episode, she is a competitor. She is a champion. She's a mom. She left the UFC, had a kid, came back, and has fought again, won her first fight back after her retirement. And I think she's just ready to always be compete. And she's really easy to get along with and very nice. I like Misha Tate a lot as a person.
But I think for the same reason that I said in our first episode, I don't think Misha's going to win because I think Todrick has his eye on her. Like you already saw him being buddy-buddy with her when they're up there as marionettes. And Misha's like, "I like you, Todrick. I will not put you up," which we're going to get into. But like, Todrick will cut her when the time comes. I don't know if Misha would do the same.
I agree
with that. That's possibly true. It might be take someone else to get Todrick out for Misha. But I think Misha's problem is going to end up being loyalty. She's going to end up being too loyal. That's going to be at the end of the day. And I'm going to explain why a little bit later. Next up, we had Teddy Mellencamp. She came in next. Teddy Mellencamp.
I don't care.
I don't think hardly anybody does. So,
sorry.
She came in, famous for being John Mellencamp's daughter, Real Housewife.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Singer, which Kylie didn't know either.
Yeah.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane, two married kids growing up in the Heartland.
What?
Anyway.
The kids in Black-ish. The kids in Black-ish are named after his song.
Okay, yeah. I haven't seen Black-ish, so.
No, you never seen Black-ish with Anthony Anderson?
I only watched Survivor and Big Brother, so.
Okay, fine. So, Teddy Mellencamp, she is a Real Housewife, but she's connected to Carson, another Carson connection, which is going to help, really help Carson out. Carson
win this season? Because this is really what this is seeming like.
I don't think Carson's going to win, but I think Carson has a lot of connections.
They're going to snap on him at some point. And then we all say this, and he's going to be able to snap on all of them. But still, I think they're all snapping on him at one point because he's going to be too messy. That's a messy queen.
I think so, too.
It's a messy queen. Anyway,
I agree.
Think he's going to be too messy because I don't think he's actually trying to win.
He's here
for a good time.
Vacation. He's there for a vacation.
I need to see the next episode before I decide if that's what he's trying to do. Because from the first one, he was doing the most.
He was a lot on the first night, but I think it was the first night of the event. Lastly, we have Lamar Odom, basketball player, former Kardashian, still loving Khloe out here in these streets. It's just so great. Lamar's out here hanging out off the drugs, man, which is great. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens when you end up in a brothel.
It's funny because I had picked Todd Bridges as the one that was going to be sleeping the most in the house. After seeing that episode, it's definitely Lamar.
It's definitely Lamar.
Lamar. Lamar's just resting up for competitions.
Also in that competition, he was literally like, all of them were in a straight line and his ass was like in the back somewhere, like walking around. Like, what are you doing? Why are you being filmed at this moment? Like, where are you? Like, he's literally just walking around and I'm like, okay, good for you, sir.
It's great. I'm just so happy to see Lamar out there and standing up and just hanging out. He's hanging out. But, I mean, Shada asked him how tall he was. I think he was Shada Mogler, and he said, "Handsome doesn't have a height." Like that's what he said.
I was like, okay, go off.
Then he stood up next to Todrick to check his height. His all 6'10 frame versus Todrick's 5'8 frame.
And his hands, like him, like I'm like, not you making him look like he's a, I don't want
child,
a short person. Jesus, like, damn, your ass is literally like, I'm sitting here and you sitting right beside me like this. What
do you mean? It was so that great. Is
this
oh,
like now she doesn't have accommodations to your specific bed in this house. Like, I found the long bed, says Carson. What you mean you found the long bed?
It was the one bed that was made for Lamar's height. They have the one in there. Yeah. So the next step. So everybody's now met each other, and then the next segment immediately. Carson gets to make it an alliance, and he makes up the guys and gays, the girls and gays alliance.
Yep,
it's which, the fierce girls and the gays. Remember, it's the fierce girls.
The fierce girls and gays alliance, which consists of himself, Todrick, Cynthia, and Teddy and Shayna, I believe.
I didn't think Teddy was.
Teddy wasn't in it.
Okay, so Shayna, Cynthia, Todrick,
those four,
and himself. And they're a foursome, already ready to go. And for Todrick, I like this alliance. I like this alliance a lot for Todrick. Because Todrick is going to be able to work within this alliance and then work with other people outside of the alliance.
Especially because he knows the game best. And of the four of them, he's the strongest physical competitor.
Absolutely.
By far. And now, then if you...
Todrick is going to look at this, as long as Carson doesn't mess him up socially... he'll like his branching out to each of those other players. He'll be able to keep those quiet without Carson. As long as Carson again doesn't get in his way, he'll be able to branch out in those little separate alliances to protect himself in the long run, where he can ditch this alliance if he needs to. Like I see Todrick as a strong strategic just because of where he came from with hopefully what the BB23 people told him.
And I think this is also a really good alliance for Cynthia, because with Cynthia utilizing these connections right here, I think she's also going to be able to make a strong connection with Lamar and with Todd Bridges. Yes. And that's going to end up giving her numbers, because she has the numbers here and the numbers there, which will help keep her safe as well through those connections. So for those two specifically, I really like this alliance. For Carson knows half the cast already, so just getting a few of them into a group just made sense. And for Shayna, it does give her a little bit of cover. So with not seeing any other alliances form on this first night, it was nice to see this alliance come together.
Yeah, they had only been in the house, 2 hours, maybe, when they already got that alliance up?
Seems like, barely, they were just there.
Mm-hmm.
I will also throw in, I think a good thing for Todrick and Cynthia as well, is this is a setup to potentially be a cookout 2.0. Because if they can pull in Todd and Lamar, that's a foursome right there that they can go farther. And especially if they could also pull in Mirai, it could be a POC alliance. And they have a strong five going against the other six. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I just thought.
I don't think they pull in Mirai, and I'll tell you why right now. Because right we now, get to the competition, right? We get Julie comes out, tells them that we're going to be going outside for a BB gala event. So everybody gets dressed to the nines. They give them some clothes. My favorite is Todrick is wearing a pink outfit That's
peppermints and cotton candy. And
yeah, and Todrick says, first off, who put me in this outfit? And secondly, who put me in this outfit? Because I'm loving this outfit.
And he was feeling it, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. And it had some frills, and it was a lot. And that is definitely up Todrick's alley. Mm. And which is why it's funny, because we talk about the flamboyance, and Todrick is that guy. That's who he is. And if you've seen any of his productions on YouTube, it's who he is. But him coming in extremely toned down was great, because he could be this person in these kind of situations. You know what I'm saying?
No one can expect anything, too.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it's great. So Julie tells them that this event, they're here at a gala, that there's only 11 people invited, and there was these 11. And they're going to be grabbing the champagne bottles and standing up and have to turn when the paparazzi needs them to take those photos at the special event.
Yep.
But in order to do it, they need to have a master's of ceremonies, someone that was going to be willing to sit out and not be a part of this event. After Carson asks who has a bad hip, Todd Bridges looks up there, realizes this is not going to work for him, and offers to sit out.
Smart.
Completely.
Because I would have looked at it and said, I'm in shape and I'm a big dude. I cannot do that.
And also, looking at previous seasons of Big Brother, that person typically usually becomes safe from the vote. So why the hell wouldn't you?
Why not give it a shot? And even though they said that the person's not automatically safe, if I am the winner of the HOH competition, I'm probably not putting that person up on the first day.
Yeah. Same.
Because they didn't even compete, and there's no reason for me to go for them, right? He's not doesn't have safety, but he's also chilling. He did this so we can do this thing. That's nice. I'm not putting them up anyway. So that was a good move too. I agree. Well, so we get started in the competition, and immediately Misha is singling out Mirai, right? She notices that Mirai is her main competition. And Mirai also notices that Misha is her main competition.
Yep.
So, which is why I think Todrick is going to lean more towards Misha, I think, in the house. Which is why I don't think Mirai ends up in this POC alliance that we're talking about earlier. Because I think Misha knows that her biggest physical competitor, outside of the former NBA player, is this figure skater.
Oh, I think Mirai might be the first target. Like, I think she goes on the block first.
Up to the block. Oh, well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Because we have the competition. And within the first 90 seconds, Chris Kattan falls.
Which, knowing what I know now about his neck, makes all the sense in the world.
Total specs.
Less than 30 seconds later, Cynthia's right behind him.
Which is what I expected.
I did too. Like, honestly, right? The order of events of that fallout of this game is kind of expected, to be honest.
Yeah. Because like, after that, you get Chris Kirkpatrick leaves soonish. Mm-hmm. Everyone drops.
I didn't expect him to go out that early, but
they start just dropping like flies, and then as they're dropping, I'm sure in his ear he gets a little message from Todd Bridges that at this event we shall be having caviar for the people. He pushes this button and just slop drenches down over everyone.
They looked so miserable when that happened.
Todd Bridges went, "Oh shit."
that looked like they like forced that out of that thing. It's like,
boom, and it covers all of them in this gross, vile looking stuff with like chunks. That is like
old chunks. It was disgusting.
It was gross. A few more people fall. We get down to to Carson. Carson says, I don't want to win this comp, but I think I've been up here long enough. And at about the 10-minute mark, Carson jumped down. And I was like, okay, Carson could have stayed up there a little bit longer. Carson might be dangerous.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, I'm starting to walk back some of the stuff I said on the first episode because I didn't think he was going to be that strong of a physical competitor. And that's one of the toughest challenges you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Finally, we get to a final four of Mirai, Todrick, Misha, and Teddy. Misha makes another comment about Mirai being a threat to her physically. As we see, we look back and she is on the two stirrups, but is holding on to only one of the two champagne bottles at this point and holding her own. She's towards the back. Next, we see she loses her footing on one of the stirrups and is on one stirrup with both feet and her hand holding onto the champagne bottle by itself for another like 15 seconds before she finally drops.
So watching that, my biggest takeaway was if you didn't set yourself upright at the beginning, you were bound to fail because the people who lasted the longest generally were the ones that had the stirrup rope and the crook of their elbow. And they were wrapping around to hold the champagne. So you could use your biceps and triceps to hold on in addition to your hands. Versus she was just hanging on hands and feet. Like, it's just a lot more strain on your shoulders and your body.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with that.
And so she ends up falling, which leaves only Todrick, Misha, and Teddy. I forgot Teddy was there.
I forgot Teddy was there, too. And then she was just standing there. And I was like, what the hell is this woman still doing up here?
Yeah. Like, oh, who's still playing? Oh, that's who that is? Oh.
So, next up, we have Todrick speaking to Misha and telling her, let's make a deal. If I drop right now, am I going to be safe? And Misha says, yes, I got you, Todrick. Don't even worry about it. And Todrick's like, cool. Todrick drops. And then, like, the camera wide shots, and you realize, oh, Teddy's still here, too. Yep. And Teddy's like, it was like, on these two right here. And then it pans out, and Teddy's on this side of Misha. And she's like, hey, can I be good also? And she's like, you know, it's too early to be making deals. I don't know.
But she said in her confessional, I like Todrick. So I'm going to make that deal. But I don't know you like that.
Yeah.
So I ain't making that deal.
I just love the fact that when Todrick was making the deal, I thought it was just the two of them left. Because that's usually when a deal happens. And when you usually cut a deal when it's just two people left, you're saying, I'm going to drop. Keep me safe. And Misha's like, bet. No, I got you. Then, like I said, the wide shot pans out a little bit more. And Teddy's right next to her. And she's like, can I be safe too?
Nah,
fam.
It's funny because with Todrick, I think he could have stayed up longer, but I think he knew he couldn't beat Misha.
Yeah.
I think Teddy asked because she knew she was about to go down.
She was going. She knew she was going.
She was like, I got to take my shot because I ain't lasting more than 30 seconds.
And because even Misha says, listen, you got to respect me just being honest. She's like, nah, it's cool. I'm out.
It's the way she fell, too. She was like, I'm out. Yeah.
Bro, gone. She's like, trying to get this deal real quick. Can't make it happen. Then I'm out of here. It doesn't matter. I was out anyway.
I'm out of it. I'm not fighting nothing.
And so with that, Misha Tate is our first HOH. And that's what this is what I was talking about. When I was talking about last week, Misha being a winner, it's because she's here to compete. And I think that there's people that like her, like Todrick. Like she said in her confessional, she had no interest in getting rid of Todrick anyway. Todrick was going to be safe. I think Beauty and the Beast, right? I think Todrick's going to be the Beauty and Misha's going to be the Beast. They're going to be a Beauty and the Beast alliance right there. And they're just going to work together because I think Misha Tate can win most physical competitions.
I think so too, but I think Todrick is going to try to cut her somewhere between 4 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think once you start getting down to the end, you know you can't beat her. So you've got to outmaneuver her.
But that's when the veto competition is going to be that much more important for Misha.
Yeah, but that's why I think he's going to take her as like the hired gun to help protect him, Carson, and Cynthia.
The girls in the gays alliance. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is that their official name?
That's what Carson called it. We'll see what if there's something changes. But currently they're the Girls and Gays Alliance. And Misha wins the first HOH. But then Julie says, wait, there's more. And says that gift right there has a special power that's going to be a blessing for one person and a curse for another. They don't tell us what it is this episode. We're going to find that out tonight on this episode that's going to be airing in about
5 minutes,
5-ish minutes. But that's going to be on tonight's episode. And that was the first episode. What did you guys think?
I think it was a great episode. My guess is that gift will be a blessing for Todd for sitting. I think it's going to be a curse for Chris Kattan for going out first.
I completely agree with all of what he just said. Also, I will say that, again, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, this cast has given more than I expected them to actually give.
Already.
Very excited for this season to see what's about to happen, because there's so many dynamics. There's so many already pre-existing relationships and new relationships that are forming and stuff that we didn't get to see in this first week that coming up, who knows what's about to happen. Like, that's where I'm very excited to see what's about to happen, I guess.
I agree. I was really surprised how much I got this episode, even if it was all set up. I'm happy to see a lot of people here to play the game, which is really exciting. I'm happy for Todrick. Todrick, to me, it was a great episode for Todrick. He came in better than I expected. Great episode for Misha Tate, my winner pick. Misha Tate is here to compete and was able to kind of make connections a little bit using that win. And the fact that Teddy's like, not pissed, even though she just made a deal with Todrick seconds before, and then turns to me and says, oh, I don't make deals. I just saw you do it.
I heard you.
But I think Teddy is smart enough to know I'm not picking this fight right now. Number one, because I don't want to be the first one out. And number two, I don't want this chick to hit me in the face.
And Misha gets paid to beat bitches up. That's literally her job. It's to beat bitches up. So, okay. Before we get out of here, who do you think Misha's putting up? Who are the two people she's putting up?
Myri and Chris.
Kattan. You say Myri and Chris.
Yeah, Kattan, not Kirkpatrick.
What do you think, Danny?
I think it's going to be Myri and Chris Kattan as well.
I think it's going to be Myri and Teddy, actually. I think she doesn't make the deal with Teddy and then puts her up. And then I think Myri goes up automatically, because it just makes the most sense. Misha's a tactician. So she's like, I am concerned about this girl. And so let's put her up so I don't have to worry about it. She's not going to think about the back doors. None of that's going to come into play yet. I think she's just going to put Myri straight up and just try to go beat her in a comp and then get her eliminated first.
I mean, she also doesn't know how to play the game, so she doesn't know about backdoors.
Backdooring, yeah.
Todrick hasn't told her about that yet.
Yeah. So I was like, if she's told about this, though, I could easily see Myri being a backdoor plan for her.
Okay, I can see that too.
Especially because she just looked at her and said, you're my biggest competition in this house. So let me make sure that you don't have a chance to get the veto.
Yeah, she's going to try to, if she can pull off a, you're not picked for veto and you can't play, I think that's where her notion is going to go of, let's get Myri out now, because I don't want the biggest competition here.
I agree. I
can also see her saying, you know what, I'm a prize fighter, so let me make sure she gets a chance so that I can beat her. So
I go beat her myself.
I'm the one that I sent you home.
It was me.
Yeah,
that's T2. That is T.
All right, I think that's the case. That's our episode. Join us next week. We'll be doing another episode recapping tonight's episode, Friday's episode, and probably Sunday's episode. I think we're gonna be doing on Monday evening. sometime. And we're gonna have a real wonky schedule because there is on like every night, and I can't do every night. So we're gonna figure it out. Probably look for us Monday. Danny, where can people find you?
All of my handles are, as it shows on my name, at Danny K. Jackson Jr. The only thing I have separate is my Twitter. Is I have Homeroom the game, and that's kind of it. So
there you go. Thank you for joining us, Danny. This has been a pleasure having you. CJ, where can people find you?
Find me on all my socials. Keyboard Sarcasm. It's over here somewhere.
Over there. You can find me everywhere at KG Fury. Enjoy tonight's episode. We'll be recapping it very soon. Thank you for joining us at For the Fans. Also, check out the For the Fans podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, like, subscribe, all those things. And with that, peace. There we go.
Period. Thank you for having me again.
No problem. Get this.